Hello, 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 hello. It's another week. Another week for you ladies to go do your hair again. Better call your man, or if you are independent, impogoto, then just go do your hair, man. It's another week again. Change those sheets, guys. Change your sheets, man. Disgusting. Can't have the same sheet for 3 weeks. Try to change your sheets every week. It's another week. It's actually month end, so yeah, you need to pay that rent. This is the week where you need to pay that rent. So yeah, guys, pay that rent. Yeah, man. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, I don't know, man. On this episode, I'd like to get really, really personal. There's something that's really, really bothering me about our generation. So by our generation, I mean the 80s, because most of them are only reaching their 40s now. So I'd say they are part of our generation. So they're like the young mothers of today. So it's gonna be the 80s, the 90s, and the 2Ks. Hey, the 2Ks, man. Oh fuck, they are fucking everything up, man. They are really doing it. So yeah, I'd like to talk about our generation and the youth, the generation, which I'll just have to call it the generation because some of them are still alive. So I just want to talk about the generation that went to Sharpeville massacre, the youth of 1976. I mean, all that generation that fought the apartheid era. So that was just one struggle and everything, man. So yeah, I'm just gonna try to break it down from then. So here's the thing, right? So back then, I'm talking about apartheid now, or as so my friends from the Babs, they call it apartheid. So yeah, during apartheid, that's what I'm going to talk about now. So during apartheid, there's something that I really, really, really liked about that generation. So man, yeah, RIP to all those who lost their lives fighting for us, fighting for me to do this podcast, and all those people, man, in the past. So just like to say shout out to them. Yeah, shout out to them, and then may their souls rest in eternal peace, man. So I'm talking about them. So there was only one struggle: white people oppressed black people, right? So white people oppressed black people, so everything was a struggle, but it was a struggle that we were all facing, right? So it was like white people, Indians, and then colored, and then black people at the bottom of the barrel, right? So that was happening. So what I liked about that, it's not what I like. I'm just gonna do a very, very quick comparison so that you get where I'm going with this point. So I'll break it down as I move forward, because I have a concern with our youth. But I also have maybe things that might be preventing us from achieving whatever that we need to achieve, right? So here's the thing. So that youth back then was oppressed, right? And being oppressed like that, man, I could feel the struggle. So hence, whenever a person comes to me and then tells me that people who ran away, so I won't call them the politicians or whatever, I'm just gonna tell it like it is: the cowards who ran away during apartheid, they were looking out for themselves, right? because they were not fighting. So once if you run away from the fight, then you are no longer fighting, because you knew they're gonna hang you or something. So you were maybe fighting but at the same time scared for your life. And such people, those are dangerous people, because a white person can just come, okay bruh, here's 100,000, you, your family, then pimpa. Then okay, to pimpa like is to snitch. So yeah, snitch all your people, and like, that's why I'm saying they are very, very dangerous, those people. So they could have done that, who knows. So the cowards ran away, right? And then people stayed and fight, and then the cowards came in after 1994, and then they were considered as heroes. So those people are not heroes in my eyes, those are cowards. And what I hate is foreign nationals always saying, eh, but we helped you during apartheid. If you didn't come and fight with us, then you didn't help us. That's not helping us. If you were voicing out, then it's something else. You're just voicing out, but you didn't come and face what South Africans were facing. I just want to make that point clear. If you supplied people with guns, that's helping. And that's what the Russians did. The Russians were supplying umkhonto wesizwe with guns, so that was helping. But you are not helping South Africans. You are helping the soldiers to fight the system. So you are helping the soldiers to fight the system. So it's sort of like helping. But if you didn't come and fight with us, I'm just gonna close it. You didn't fight with us. So here's the thing, like, that youth back then, they only had one goal, right? Which is to get rid of apartheid and then be equal with everyone. So hence, they were always fighting. And then you had the youth back then, they were like, ah, fuck, we can always study in Afrikaans. Everything Afrikaans, yonke into Afrikaans. And then they also retaliated. And then I'm going to tell you something, guys. Back then, they used to fire with live ammunition. So for you to have the guts to say, okay, fuck it, ma, or fuck it, I'm tired of this system, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna strike or march because I'm fed up. So there comes a time where people get fed up. So I'm saying, like, they were fed up because they knew these guys were using live ammunition and they didn't care. And then amongst those police, there were also black police, obviously. They were also using live ammunition on their own people. So you get something like the Sharpeville massacre. So the Sharpeville massacre was the very same thing. And that one was led by PAC. ANC is always hijacking it. I just want to make it clear, guys. Like, the Sharpeville massacre was led, like the Human Rights Day 21 March was led by the PAC. The PAC is the biggest party in Sharpeville, so it's still visible. So if you want your history, I think there are some people who are still there, so you can just go maybe and do a documentary if you are, because I'd really love to do a documentary about stories around the Val, because that's where I'm from. There are a lot of things that happened here during that time. There was this guy who was killed, he stayed in zone 7-2, and then after he was killed, they were about to bury him. Those guys, they came back, they shot the casket again, and then they also shot certain people who were in the tent. So I don't know what's this ceremony called, the night before they gonna bury. It's like the night before they gonna bury the person. Black people hold this thing called they call it umlindelo in Sesotho, umlindelo. So I don't know what is it in English, but it's just a gathering to share, like, it's more like a memorial service, guys. Yeah, it's more like a memorial service, I can call it that. It's more like a memorial service before they're gonna bury, before the actual day where they're gonna bury a person, but it's held at night. So they came to that memorial service and then they killed everyone. There's a stone in zone 7. I'd really love, like, if there are still people, like, if I had a proper camera equipment, I was gonna do a documentary about it, because it's really nice. I really think the story needs to be told for all the things that happened in the valley. So yeah, moving on, I was talking about Sharpeville. So those ladies, mothers, they came out, they was like, fuck this, we're no longer gonna use this dump bus, you're gonna have to carry this thing all along wherever you go. And so it's fucked up, man, you see. But it was the same thing, like, it was, they were fighting oppression. That was like, even kids at school not wanting Afrikaans, the main heading of that generation, they were fighting oppression. Your Mandelas, your Mbekis, your Zumas, what they were fighting was oppression, right? So they had guards to go stand. And remember, this is what I always tell people, politicians don't fight shit. Politicians use people at the bottom of the barrel to fight for them. That one people should always know. If people, let me say this, I just want to rephrase it so nice. If people at the bottom get fed up enough, if people at the bottom of the barrel get fed up enough to go and take whatever their anger towards the street, that's when you're gonna see the real revolution. Malema alone cannot be an impact to society. Hence, he just tells people what to do. People at the bottom, they're the ones, you see. If the ANC had to do something, they also cannot do anything back then. They couldn't do shit. So people at the bottom, they're the ones who can rule what's going to happen to the country and then what's not going to happen to the country. So move on, like everyone back then, like as a black person, maybe they were those ones. I think the highest peak of the career, the highest peak of the career was that you could be a doctor or a nurse. No, not a doctor. You could be a nurse. And like those service delivery things, man, you could be a nurse. If you studied, you're only gonna study teaching and nursing. I think those were the only three at the top of the table. So yeah, you had to tell your story about that too. You really, really, really had to tell your story about that. So that was the only careers which were respected in the black community. So moving on, right? So moving on from that, we're gonna say, like, I've already said that the main heading of the apartheid system was oppression, right? So now we come to our youth. It's 1994, everything passed. So I'm just gonna compare certain laws. So now we have a lot of foreigners in South Africa, and then remember the people who fought this thing of carrying a dump bus every time. I could say it was oppression, fine, yes, because they only needed it from black people, maybe. But now we are here, right? Foreigners are everywhere. When police are moving around, like, just like in the US, I just want to tell, in the US you always have to carry your ID so that you can identify yourself, who you are. Now in South Africa, you can just move freely and the police stop you. They won't even ask you for your identification. So that was a rule back then, and then now it's a rule now, and then it's backfiring. It's fine, let's move. So my point is, the youth today, we are not angry enough. Hey guys, we are not angry enough. That one, I won't lie to you. We are not angry enough. There's a lot of shit happening in South Africa, and we are just not angry enough. We have a problem with foreigners, right? We have a problem with foreigners. They flooded the townships, they took over the township economy. And how they took it, it's based on prices. I won't lie to you guys. It's based on prices. there was a documentary back then. I think I was still in primary. Yeah, I was still in primary. So it was back in the 2000s and 7, 8. Yeah, 7, 8, somewhere there. So back then, they did a documentary of a black-owned spaza shop. And then back then when they were still infiltrating, so they did a black-owned spaza shop and this Somalian spaza shop. So wherever they come, the black store collapses completely. So they did a comparison. So that guy was selling, maybe they sell sugar mine is R7, and then they go to that guy, oh, mine is R6.50. So you can tell that was straight up sabotage. The Somalian guy is going to sell it for R6.50 while you are selling it for R7, and you have a reason why you are selling it for R7. They have their own reason, which is to shut down your store so that they can take the prices to a normal price. So you need to feed your family and stuff. They don't mind selling it so that they can also regain the stock, the money they're gonna stock with, right? So yeah. And how they started, these guys, they only started selling blankets. Oh, they go to Jersey, they buy a blanket for 120, they come here to the township, they sell it for 420 or 400, and then you take it on credit, and then you keep on paying. They save the money, and then they start opening shops. All their shops, they have containers. How much is a container? Have you guys looked how much is a container? That shit is expensive. If they don't open a container, they build their own. It's more like a 4-room garage or whatever. Let's just call it a garage. They build this garage where they're gonna sell. So, and then we have, like, now every city, Cape Town is complaining. They're complaining about Nigerians. What was this town? Joburg, Hillbrow, they are complaining about Nigerians. In Vereeniging, they've infested all the shops, like saloons, they are now owned by Nigerians. Nothing is owned by black people, it's all Nigerians now. They even they are even selling food that black people eat now. They now selling everything like that. So yeah. So that's number one. We have a foreigners problem, and I'm 100% sure, guys, if we had to look all the foreigners in South Africa, I'm pretty sure 70% of them came in illegal. I mean, if you are in a country where you just walk without being asked for your ID, I'd really enjoy that country. I'd really enjoy that country. I won't lie to you. I'd really enjoy that country. So yeah. So we have a foreigners problem, right? So at the same time, let me just try to justify it. I think they are flourishing because our black people support them. And then when it comes to drugs, they are flourishing because our own police officers, they eat with them on the same table, not realizing the long-term effect of whatever they are doing. How long? Remember, if you support someone who does drugs, they get more money, and then more money is equals to more power. Even Young Thug says it, guys. First you get that money, then you get that power. Simple. That's Young Thug. I never thought he'd say something that I would ever reference, because most of the time it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, lifestyle, innovation, and the lifestyle. So yeah, I'm saying if they keep on doing that, these guys are gonna get more power. They get more power, they're gonna get more guns and stuff. And then at the end of the day, like, imagine there was this, what's this town? Why am I forgetting it? During that time when Zulu people, after they killed that taxi driver, may his soul rest in peace, and then Zulu people retaliated. And by the way, I don't know why it always has to be, or why it always have to be Zulu people who are always fighting these foreigners. Like, where are other cultures, guys? Like, where are other tribes? Like, we need all these tribes come together and then we fight this thing. Actually, we need the youth, man. Whether black, whether white, whether green, whether Indian, because this thing is going to affect all of us. I'm telling you, in the future, it's going to affect all of us. And the worst part is that the ANC is actually doing nothing about it. So we need to come together and fight this thing. So yeah, that's what I was saying. I was saying they probably flourish because of us again. You see, they are flourishing because of us. I was surprised when they said drugs used to be imported, right, in South Africa. But now they're no longer being imported. We have our own plants here in the country. You have your own cocaine plant where people cook cocaine. So now they just go and buy ingredients. So they have farms and stuff, which is what I like. This president of Ghana said, if you are a foreigner and then you come to a certain country, you cannot own property. I fully agree on that. You cannot own shit. You can just rent until you leave, so that it shows you are not welcomed and then you cannot stay. There should be a law that protects South Africa from that. Because these guys, they use this drug money, and then after drug money they wash it, and then after they wash it. I once went to Bread Laws, and then this guy came in to buy something cash, and then they asked him, where do you get the money? Why don't you bank with a certain bank? I mean, how can you operate a business, and then after you operate a business, and then you don't have a bank account? So it means all the cash stays with you. He told me that he opened this bank account and then FNP closed it somehow, somewhere. I don't know that whole story he told, but it sounded like a lie. So now, meaning your business is only dealing with cash. That's exactly what he told me. Like, meaning your business is only dealing with cash. So if you're only dealing with cash, then something's fishy, guys. So yeah, hence I'm saying we are not angry enough, guys. We are not angry enough to tackle the foreigners issue, right? Number two, we have to tackle the unemployment issue. These guys, they talk to the Zondo Commission, they ate 50 billion, they ate. You know, you can just fund someone's business with 50,000 and they can grow it to be the biggest business in South Africa. And maybe turn it around and hire more people. So why isn't that money used to invest? Like, fund the ideas of the youth. What they did in Japan was actually amazing. The Japan government told the youth, like, if you think you have any innovative idea that can change the world, please come forward with it. We will review it, and then after reviewing it, we will see if we're gonna fund it or not. That's what the government said. I mean, or they can just do something like a government loan. What they do, they chow the money. Last year they released 500 billion. I think he only talked about 500 billion for like 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, he didn't talk about the money anymore. They chowed it. And then Ramaphosa releases us like, hey, we're gonna find those people who ate the money. And then the hawks were busy. It's like, okay, the hawks were busy. Now the hawks are quiet. Because I think his target was always Ace Magashule, to take out Ace Magashule out of his way. So that was just crazy, man. That was crazy, guys. So yeah, I'm saying we are not angry enough to fight this unemployment, because South Africa has a lot of money. It has a lot of money, and it's just being wasted. You see this side, they chow their money. You go that side, they chow their money. So we need to get angry enough. Because I've also heard that some places now you cannot walk. As a South African, when you go to certain places, you cannot walk in those places. you cannot walk because they are infested by foreigners. So that needs to change. That really, 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 guys, it needs to change. So we need to find a way on how we can tackle. Like, we need to be angry enough to take it to the streets. And then after the unemployment issue, we're gonna go to the service delivery issue. These guys, they're just chowing the money. Just like I said, they are just chowing the money. I wish you guys could go to each and every township. There's a municipality. Like, there's a municipality and everything. So that one, I'm just gonna blame it on us too. Back then, I'm comparing again with the apartheid. Back then, during apartheid, you had inspectors, people who'd come, people who'd check, like, if you are paying for your water, if you are paying for electricity and stuff. But now you no longer have those things. It's because once the ANC goes into a post and then they actually own it, they cut people which they think they are useless. So you go into municipality, you see, inspector inspecting what, garbage in the townships, fucking cut. You see, this guy needs to be cut. Why are you going to the township and inspecting garbage? Now you have landfills next to the garbage. That's a hazard issue. Even the car scraps and stuff, they had those guys who used to come and check, oh, this guy is dangerous, a kid might die on this. They come, they send them, and then they take that thing away to a scrap somewhere else. So, like, I always tell people, like, the apartheid government might have been cruel, right? But when it comes to service delivery, like, ask an elderly person how it felt like going to town back then. They're gonna tell you it was nice, like, you felt like this is now town. So now the only thing that you guys enjoy is town, it's malls. Hence people are always packed in malls. People no longer go to town. You only go to town if you have to go to somewhere special. But if you say, okay, I'm going out tonight, you don't go to town, you go to a mall. So that's where the energy now is going to. You are now going to a mall. Everyone is going to a mall, and then you're just gonna spend on a mall. So that also needs to change, guys. So what I'm asking is that the youth of today is angry. Now I'm getting to, like, we are angry. I'm angry myself thinking about all these things, thinking about the ANC and stuff. But problem is that people are angry, but they're only angry on social media. Social media made everyone lazy. They say all this hateful stuff online. But when it's time to come together, unite, and fight against these things, they don't. When it's time to come and fight against these things, they don't fight. They stay on their phones. They want to tweet about it. They don't go to the streets and tweet about it. Did you guys see what Nigeria did on that NSAS thing? They went a whole 2 weeks because they were fed up. So my question is, how fed up, like, as the youth of South Africa, how fed up are we with the things that are going on in our country right now? Tokyo also came out. It was like, this much and this much was stolen. Follow the money. I can't wait to find out if that money was really stolen or what. But I just want to see if those guys will really follow the money now. If they do follow the money, then I guess we're going to go somewhere else with this thing. But guys, how fed up are we as the youth of South Africa? I'm talking about the youth now. So for the youth, I'll say I'm talking about from 16 years, let's just say 16 years to 35 years. How fed up are we? How fed up are we? We see what's happening. We see that everything that's happening is wrong. We see, like, there's rape, there's this thing. Okay, I understand sometime. Maybe the freedom gave us, I just want you guys to understand this. We also have freedom, right? 1994 gave us freedom to choose whatever we want. So now we're no longer suffering from the same oppression, which was the oppression, right? Women, they are facing rape, which is a pandemic. A woman can't just leave the house without being scared for her life. That's number one. We go to number two. Some are facing unemployment. So some women are facing the fear of being raped and also unemployment, right? So those are the things that, like, now we are facing different things. And then you have business people who are facing the banks being racist against them. And then, like, it's just all these things. So what I mean is, if I'm a black person, I'm just suffering from the bank, right? Why don't I just look on the other side and then check, oh, that person is suffering from rape. Can I just go support that? Why don't we support each other when it comes to the struggles that we are all facing? Back then, like, just like I'm saying, back then it was only one struggle. We were fighting oppression. And then we had to do whatever means to get over that. There's still oppression today, but at least it is a little bit better. I'm not saying it is better, but yeah, it is still there. But we need to find something, guys. Like, we need to find, as the youth, I'm talking to the youth now, I'm not talking to the old people and stuff, but I think we should also include people who are like 45 years and young. Like, what are we doing? Because they still have 15 years to go. And then by that 15 years to come, I don't think we'll see anything in this country. The way how it's running. Even Zuma said it. He said, these guys, they have dual citizenships. Once things go down here, they're going to move to other countries. Why do you think 500 billion was chowed so quick? They have plan B. So, guys, are we, like, I need us to be angry enough to take issues we talk about every day on social media to the streets. Let's take everything to the streets. I saw who's this lady, or whoever she is, but her name is Sisulu. She said they're gonna recruit engineers from Cuba to fight the water crisis we have in South Africa. In Cuba, they also have a water crisis, but those engineers, they cannot fight it. But then they have to come to South Africa and fight the water crisis. That time we have our own engineers. I mean, why? What are they learning? What are our engineers learning in the universities that the Cubans can do? Like, I think we can do everything. Like, our engineers in South Africa, they can do anything, whatever Cubans can do. But they went on and went to fight engineering. They went to fight unemployment in Cuba. That's what happened. And then here's a thing that caught my eye. Mbalula said to Sisulu, he was like, avoid this reactionist. That's all they do, they just react. So even the ANC government saw how we are. You react on social media, it becomes a bad publicity, and then we move. When are we gonna take things to the streets? Right now, all the engineers who are unemployed, they should have gathered and then they should have striked. And they should have shown that, hey, we are fed up with this thing, guys. Hire us. No Cubans engineers would come here and then help us with whatever. So hire us. But they didn't do that. They just reacting on social media. Hence, they just like that phrase that Mbalula said showed me that we just react. you don't put action. And the only way to put action is to go to the streets. So guys, I'm gonna leave you with this last question again. How angry are we? Are we angry enough to take whatever issues we are facing as a country to the streets? We need to go to the streets. There's a video I also posted on my Twitter page. Oh yeah, I'm back on Twitter. It's Jan van Potritter. So it's at Jan van Potritter, and for you, my suburb people, it's at Jan van Potritter. So that's JanVanPotritter. Jan van Potritter. So how angry are we, guys? How angry are we? We need to take this thing to the streets. But we need to be angry. How angry are we? Because even the government now knows. You just shout on social media, whatever hashtag trends number one. It needs to trend number one. At the same time, we need to be on the streets. When people go to march or to strike, only have something like 90 people. But on social media, you'd have something like 50,000 tweets on a hashtag that's really serious concerning the country. So guys, South Africa is going into a shithole, and we as the youth, we need to do something about it. And also you young mothers who are 45, who are 44, 43, 42, you still have 15 years to go to retire. But we need to know, how angry are we to take this thing to the streets? It needs to go to the streets. Please think about that. How angry are we until we take this anger to the streets so that the government sees? I'm just gonna repeat it one last time, guys. How angry are we until we have to take whatever issues we are facing to the streets? This one needs to go to the streets. I'm telling you guys, this one needs to go to the streets, because tweeting won't help anymore. Posting on Facebook won't help anymore. I've also seen, I've started the hashtag #FootsAgainst. I've seen white people hopping on it on TikTok. TikTok won't help anymore. We need to unite as a country and then fight the ANC. If the ANC is the problem, then we need to fight it. Because South Africa will be a shithole in the next coming years. And we won't have anything. Like, now the food is just going up. Everything is just going up because of their own fuck-ups. Like, imagine, I saw 2 liters of cooking oil. It's now 78 rand. I was like, shit. When does this become a thing now? Like, hey, 2 liters, 78 rand, guys. Going to 100 rand, 2 liters. And it's shocking because last year, like during COVID, food was open, food shops were all open, they only closed retail stores. I would understand if Relay came in and was like, I know, our jeans were 400, now our jeans are going to be 800. I was like, I get it, they're trying to recover that money. But cooking oil was being bought during that time. It rained this year. Like, the seeds are fine, everything is fine. You can tell when you look at the size of a potato that it really rained this year. So guys, I'm gonna leave you with this again. How angry are we until we take our anger to the streets so that the government can wake up? Yes, they might be ruling us, but like I said, people at the bottom, if they get fed up, their anger will be seen. So we need to get angry, and then we need to go fight for what's right. Our youth, how angry away. That was all for today. I hope you have a lovely night if you are listening to it at night, a great morning if you are listening to it that morning, and have a great, enjoy the rest of your day, man, if you are listening to it in the afternoon. So yeah, it was me, Jean-Phone Potriter. I'm out of here.